Good afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape is the place to go if you're looking for anything John Deere, tractors, attachments, parts, service, sales. They got it all going on up there. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All that and then some.
Yeah. And if you're looking for Honda generators, better get in there. There's only a few left, and right now there is a generator shortage. So they're going to be tough to find.
There's a shortage of everything.
Yeah, there is a shortage of everything.
If it's being manufactured, there's a shortage.
I think you can still get candles, so you might want to stock up on those to light your cave.
And pencils. Pencils are available.
Yeah, you can get pencils. You can't get the sharpener, so get a pocket knife.
We're going to go back in time.
Yep, I'm afraid so.
Oh, my gosh. Well, our guest today, although I can't tell if she's on the line because a little room in there doesn't have any people in it. Oh, people who belong in the little room. Can you give me the high sign? Do we have Orlean on the phone? He's not wearing the headset.
Nope, he's not wearing the headset.
Makes it really hard to communicate someone in the little room with no headset. Hey!
Hey, we got a caller, do we?
Do we have Orlean on the phone?
I am here.
Oh, we do. Okay, I was going to introduce you, and I thought, that would be singularly a flat intro if we said, and hello, and then we hear, nothing. it's going to be like that today, so, yeah, fair warning. I guess before we get too far down the trail, we should tell people today is the 18th of July, and 2021, in case we replay this, some of the things will not be relevant. The information will be relevant, but we're going to talk about some speaking engagements that Orlean is doing. So if you're not listening at the end of July in 2021, just, you know, mentally skip that part. You can find all the information at our website, wethepeopleradio.us. And now from here on out, we'll let Bill say the .us sometimes.
Oh.
Sometimes.
Okay. I'll try to remember that.
It doesn't always work,
it's
though.
My big part.
And now, Bill, guest starring in .us. So our guest is Orlean Kerhle. Her last name is spelled K-O-E-H-L-E. And I won't do that again, but it is tricky because it doesn't spell like it sounds. And people usually pronounce it incorrectly. So she has multiple last names, really only one, but, you know, somewhat deceptively simple, but often confused. So she is an author. She is also the state president of Eagle Forum of California. That's been going on since 2002, and she's a busy bee. We'll just call it that. She's into all sorts of stuff. She's a Eagle Forum is a national, conservative, pro-life, pro-family, patriotic organization with the motto "For God, Family, and Country." So in case you haven't heard of Eagle Forum for some unknown reason, there you go. That's what that's about. She grew up in a farm in Roberts, Idaho, near Idaho Falls, graduated from Idaho Falls High School, and served as Miss Idaho Falls. After graduating from college at Brigham Young University, she taught school. She's like the woman of many talents.
Never sit on your hands.
Nope. You go from Miss Idaho Falls, boom, you're teaching school. And I'm sure the kids were a lot better for you because, you know, you had a sash, or yeah, nothing.
I don't think I ever wore it at school.
Yeah, it was a junior high, so, you know, my guess is actually that would have put you at a disadvantage. But she taught speech drama and journalism, which has to make living in the world these days a lot more painful. The rest of us know journalism's, you know, gone to hell in a handbag, and you can actually prove that. But we're going to be discussing her two most recent books, Unmasking the Masquerade. There's a volume one and a volume two. And interestingly enough, Robert Exter, the guy who takes the commercials out and makes our archives uninterrupted, we make them free of charge. Robert makes them uninterrupted. It's a combined effort. And volume two, he did the illustration on the front of Bill Gates and Tony Fauci riding on horses with their big syringes. He's a really good artist, actually. Does portraits and cartoons and used to be a forensic artist. And there's a whole Unabomber story that is in there, too, and we won't get into that, but it's pretty interesting stuff. So you have put together this effort, and I'm sure you sat down to write a pamphlet, right? That's what always happens to you. You sat down to write a pamphlet, and suddenly it turned into two books.
That's right. That's how all of my books turned out. I just read a little article and kept researching and researching, and suddenly there was a book. And this one turned out to be so large, it was 650 pages.
Wow.
Nobody wants to pick up such a big book.
That's a writing problem.
Volume 1 and Volume 2.
She had a little writing accident there. Yeah, because and this is packed full of information and footnotes, I should add. You know, so this isn't just a giant run-on opinion, which is always, I guess we should qualify because that does happen quite a bit. People just, you know, spouting off what they think rather than what they can prove. So I don't know where you would like to start today. I guess we should tell people the volume one is the 10 P's for loss of liberties and turning the world upside down. And I don't think people who listen to this show would find any of this surprising, but it is kind of great to see it all sort of coalesced in one spot. So you have a plandemic as opposed to a pandemic. You have a planned pandemic, so a plandemic. Pseudoscience, propaganda, paranoia, persecution, prosperity or poverty, politics, power, and population control, our favorite. It's always at the end, population control. So, yeah, I think that your timing is excellent on your 10 P's.
Well, thank you. I like alliteration. A lot of my titles have the same word in them, like my book about Common Core. I had the hidden C's of Common Core, all these C words that were all there in the description of it. The biggest two were communist-like and corporation-driven and many, many other little C words. And somehow all these P words fit in with the pandemic, which turned out to be a plandemic. And everything you just named is there's a chapter on each one of those subjects in my book and shows how this was truly planned many, many years ago to do exactly what it has done, to take away our liberties and slowly move us closer to a socialist state, which is happening.
Well, you'd be happy to know that, let's see, last week, so on July 11th, we had Peter Friedman on here, and we were talking about an unclassified memo, a CIA memo that was unclassified, and it was from back in 2003 that talked all about how to pull off a pandemic like this and why you might want to do it. It's called The Darker Bioweapons Future, was the name of the actual CIA memo. Cheerful title. So if you're interested in a little bit of backstory there, that was a good one. And Alex Newman, who wrote the foreword for your book, was on with us June 27th. So you're actually part of a series, it seems.
Well, that's wonderful. Yes, Alex and I were actually going to try to co-author this book, but he became so busy, and it was just really hard to have him do anything extra because he was writing and traveling. And so he was kind enough to do the foreword for me, which I really appreciated. He's a great person. I know you really admire him as well.
Alex is a great guy, and I don't know how he gets as much done. He's got five kids, and one of them's a brand new baby, and he's a workhorse.
He is, and they homeschool all those five boys. Well,
that's right. I forgot about
not
that.
Yet, but the others.
Yeah, just in case
really
it could
remarkable.
Get more difficult. Actually, it probably is easier, I suppose. You don't have kids running all over the place to different schools and all that, you know, right where they are most of the time.
That's true, and you know right what they're learning, because in this day and age, education has become so strange. It's not at all what parents would want their children to be learning. And especially is it going to be hard now going back this fall with all the kids having to wear masks and having to learn critical race theory, part of their ethnic studies in California. So I think any wise parent would choose to homeschool like Alex Newman has done.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I was telling somebody, it'd be good to put that out there. Remember when you were substituting and in your local schools, and you would find that they were having, and I cannot remember the detail, they were having a, I think it was like a pro-choice type of thing. They were having a Planned Parenthood kind of deal, and you used the laws that require that there be balance to bring in the other side of it.
That's right. I write about that in, I can't remember which book.
Couldn't either.
I was asked to substitute teach at Santa Rosa High School, and they just happened to have a secret assembly going on that day that no parent had even been told about. The assembly was called Sex and Stuff. It had two simulated sex scenes behind a curtain with all of the graphics. 1,700 students saw these between the two assemblies that went on, and it was just outrageous.
Wow.
Supposedly they were teaching children how to not have a pregnancy, teaching them their form of abstinence. It was unbelievable, promoting lesbianism, the gay lifestyle, and the M word. They had a little lingo. They could say sex can wait, and then they used the M word right out in public. I was just absolutely appalled. And so the second time through, I sat down on the gym floor and just took down every word I could. I'm pretty good at writing fast. And then I wrote an article about it. This was the introduction to a week of diversity in the Santa Rosa High School. Every strange group was there promoting every strange philosophy, all progressive. They allowed one speaker to give a conservative viewpoint. That was me. And then finally we were able to get another person in to give a counterbalance to all the pro-homosexual programs that were going on. But after that, we started getting a petition drive going, and really outraged parents were saying it. And one parent was willing to file a lawsuit because her son was supposed to be opted out from having such an assembly shown to him, and he was not given the opportunity to opt out. And Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute represented us, and before it actually came to trial, the school district, the school board, backed down, and they said, yes, we will have a firm policy made. There will no longer be any assembly like this. There will no longer be a week of diversity. There can be one day of dialogue, which is supposed to give a diverse viewpoint, but there has to be also the conservative viewpoint shown. So one school tried to do it the next year, just that one day of dialogue, and the principal asked me to come and help with the planning of it. And the teachers, when I was there, said, why is she here? And he said, if she isn't here, this event will not take place. So we had a truly balanced format. We had wonderful conservative speakers. Instead of Planned Parenthood, we had the Pregnancy Counseling Center there. And we had a couple who had had a little child who had been born with Down syndrome, who they had been told she should have aborted. She refused to abort the baby. And she brought this darling little child, and all the classes fell in love with him. And one girl told her, we're so grateful you are here. I will never have an abortion if I were told I was going to have such a child, because they just all fell in love with this little boy. So anyway, it turned out so successful on our part that they've never had it again. They don't want a day of dialogue because they don't want a dialogue. They don't want to hear the conservative viewpoint. It's just always the progressive.
Right. Yeah. They don't want to hear both sides.
Nope.
But people don't realize that they do have to give both sides. And you use the rules to force them to do both sides, you know, to bring in both sides. So I guess worth repeating, because with school starting, there will be parents who will be frustrated that only one side is being given. How about this? When we come back in just a second, let's give them a resource where they can go, or someone could you know, tell their friend or whatever where to go, so that they can actually do that and make it successful, rather than just becoming that parent that now is tagged as a nuisance We'll be right back. Our guest is Arlene Curla, and we will, I promise, we will talk about Unmasking the Masquerade. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
That'll help us talk pandemic. So what exactly did you use, or what do you think is the best resource to send people to if they want to make a stand like that at their school?
Well, granted, you would think the schools were supposed to give a balanced format, but that was way many, many years ago. Most of our teachers, and especially the NEA and the CTA, think that this is all about promoting a Democrat viewpoint on the world, and it's just amazing how you see that in the faculty lounges when there's any kind of an election going on. Only the Democrat candidate pictures are in the faculty lounge, and it's like you're just signed up to go work for them. They don't even think there might be a Republican present. So if this is something you really have to do on a district level, your school board right there locally. That's what we had to do. We had fought really hard. It was a 2-year petition drive before, and this threatened lawsuit before we finally got a firm policy in place. And so I think you have to do it school district by school district. And that's also how we're being told to fight critical race theory. Even though this is past the Senate Education Committee, it's past the entire Assembly, this ethnic studies course, they still have, one more committee to go through, and then it'll be for the open vote. But how it's sailing through, I'm sure it'll probably be a done deal soon. So then the only way we can fight the critical race theory and this ethnic studies is in our own local school district. And that's what I would recommend they do. I keep reminding our school district every now and then that we do have this firm policy in place. I cite the number, and I say that's when they're thinking of some other liberal thing, like they were going to bring in the day of silence where the students were all supposed to have tape over their mouths or to pretend that they were kind of symbolizing what the gays and lesbians have had to go through over the years, having to be silent. So I would call up and say, so I understand the Santa Rosa City Schools is going to support the Day of Silence, and they'd say yes, and I'd say, well, according to this policy, there must be also a other viewpoint allowed, so we would like to follow that with a Day of Truth. And I explained what that was going to be like, and so they dropped the Day of Silence. So it was so words. You just have to keep tabs on what they're doing, and to have had that policy in place really makes a difference.
That's awesome. Well, the thing is, it should be really self-evident, I guess, for anybody who's listening who's thinking, well, I don't know why they can't support that. But see, it's kind of like it's like our voter, you know, the fight we're having now about voter laws and that sort of thing. If you're against voter fraud, why would you be opposing things that would stop it, you know? So if you want freedom of speech, why would you oppose the other side? I think we see a lot of, I don't know, what do you call it, things that aren't exactly what they appear.
Well, yeah, they're guilty of the exact thing that they say they're against.
Yeah,
in just about
they
every
call
case,
it hypocrisy. Or
yeah, and you only get away with it if everybody else falls for it. So if we all remain silent, then you know, and we don't oppose that because, oh, obviously nobody wants to be labeled as a whatever. But, you know, bottom line is we're going to get labeled as a whatever anyway. So you might as well be nice, be factual, get out there and speak your piece. I have people who, I got an email from a relative actually last night that said, you know, that nobody is speaking out. The interesting part is though, and sometimes it feels like nobody's speaking out, but the only way we would actually know if people were speaking out is if the media promoted that. And right. They're not going to do that. So if you're waiting to hear about it, on the news or whatever, you know, people will say, well, the Republicans aren't standing up. I'm like, the Republicans isn't a thing. You know, they say it like it's a, you know, like it's a, I don't know, like a thing you go lay your hands on. I mean, the Republicans is a lot of people with differing viewpoints. So there isn't going to be somebody who's going to go do that for you, or an organization necessarily. It's going to go do it for you. You're going to have to be that.
That's right. And when you do the research, you find out there are many, many people speaking out. Getting back to the subject of this pandemic, there are 600 medical doctors in Germany that are speaking out against all of this. They're calling it a fraud, a scam, a big play that was with a script that was written. And there are thousands of doctors here in the United States speaking out. There's going to be a big class action lawsuit that this Rainer Feulmisch, a German attorney who is also able to practice in California, he has started a class action lawsuit. At first he had three attorneys with him. Now he has 1,000 attorneys and 10,000 medical, either doctors or assistants who are all part of this class action lawsuit. So I think we're going to be hearing more and more about the people who are speaking out and taking a stand.
Wow. But you'd think that, I mean, 600 is a pretty good number.
It is.
Of doctors all.
They're really brilliant. I've heard some of them interviewed and they have such evidence for what they're saying.
And yet we don't hear anything about that.
No, we just have to dig deeply on the internet. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of, still, even though they keep trying to squelch this information and censor it, they keep popping up with new websites or new ways of bringing in their information, and somehow we get the word out. I hope we can continue to do so.
That's awesome. Well, Bill's got the book open and he's got a pencil in the thing here. He's geared up.
I was just reading a little bit about your pseudoscience and the confusion and mixed messaging that is out there on this pandemic, and it looks like they're going to make another run at it again. I guess it was so successful the first time around. Now they're gonna try it again. I mean, they were able to control the population basically with all this mask frenzy and virus frenzy. And now that it's died down, all of a sudden it's coming back. And now we have to go back to masks. And I mean, where's this end? What do you see?
Well, one of my P's in my book is profit, and for profit or prosperity or poverty. You know, some people are making a mint on this, and others are losing their businesses, losing their shirt, essentially.
Right.
But part of the profit is the masks. Can you imagine how much money is coming in? Millions of dollars selling these masks, and then when Fauci decided that we should wear two or three of them, of course, having on higher sales. And I've, in my research, I discovered their plan is to keep the masks going until 2006. So, you know, we've got a few more years. There'll be another variant. Right now it's the Delta variant. I guess they're going to go through every Greek letter of the alphabet, so we'll come out with an omega delta or omega variant.
Exactly.
So, I was kind of laughing. I'm like, well, I don't think the Greek alphabet's big enough for their plans. They should have probably gone with a different outfit.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I think when the delta strain's gone through and everybody's been masked up for that for probably the next 6 months, then they'll come out with another one. I mean, it's just a great way to keep everybody afraid and keep everybody under control and just implement more and more control over, like you said, businesses, the economy. I mean, it's crushing people right now.
It is, and it's so sad how people are falling for it. I heard on the news yesterday that especially in the states that have not been getting their vaccines, like Arkansas, this Delta variant is just spreading and thousands of people are in the hospital. Well, I checked on some of those reports, even in New York, when supposedly there were thousands of people in the hospital and there were no rooms, and they were going to have to move to a Navy hospital ship that they brought in. There were only 30 rooms that were ever used in that hospital ship. And you called up the hospitals and said, can you tell me, are you just overwhelmed with patients? And whoever I was speaking to would say, oh, no, it's not really bad at all. So it's like we cannot really trust or believe our major media anymore. They just want to keep us constantly in this paranoia and using fear tactics. And they're having great success, which is so sad.
Yeah. I mean, the first go around was so successful. They're gonna pull the same thing all over again, much like our elections. They did such a great job in 2020, and there's been really no changes to speak of. They'll do it all over again. I mean, it worked once; it'll work again until we do something to change it. And right now, I don't see anything we're doing to change this cycle of pandemic fever.
That's true. The only thing that is working is people are waking up, and it's exciting to see how many are waking up. The last chapter of my book, my second volume about the vaccines, I list all of the freedom-loving people that have just risen up in various places around the world. In Germany, 1 million people were marching in the streets of Berlin, asking for this pandemic to end, and they were saying it was all a hoax, a plan, and they refused to wear their masks. And there have been so many places throughout the United States where freedom-loving groups have now formed and saying the same thing, and even some of our most liberal counties like Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, where I live, we've had huge rallies in Old Courthouse Square, people demanding freedom. And then churches that have taken a bold stand and refused to shut down. Most of the Calvary churches throughout California have, in one big group, they decided no more of this. They opened up together. And because of that, thousands of people are coming to their churches because they love freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, Governor Newsom cannot arrest thousands of people, so he's essentially just let them go on. And one of those is where our Orange County Eagle Forum chapter holds their meetings. It's the Calvary Chapel at the Harbor. And they have expanded so much, they now have to get a new facility. They just can't, they don't have enough room. And it's because of the pastors are so bold and they speak out of the truth, what's going on. And people love the truth and they love freedom and they're flocking there, and they are tired of these restrictions and tired of the lies that are being told to them. So there is hope, and I love to see people taking a bold stand. That's what we've got to do. That's what our founding fathers did to establish this nation, and we've got to do it again to keep our freedoms.
I think the left, pretty regularly makes the calculated mistake that they can rush forward. They're very impatient. Although you would think that, if they're following, some of their you know, Sun Tzu and those guys. I mean, it's all about the slow march and the long game. And in some ways, they do play the long game. But when it comes to policy, it's always too much, too fast.
Yeah, once they get a foot ahead, man, they just want to take over. But I think what it's really going to take is...
So I hope that hurts them. Yes, that was my point. I hope that is the thing that scares the crap out of people and they finally step up and go, oh, no, what are these guys doing?
Yeah. I mean, you look at how many business owners were destroyed by government imposing their restrictions on them. I mean, they tried to open and the government stepped in and shut them down and jerked their business licenses and did all these steps against them. I think there's got to be a point where all the business owners say, to heck with it. We're opening. And until everybody gets on that train, they're going to succeed at running us through this grinder again and shutting everything down.
Right, well, and that's exactly what the church has decided. You know, we're going to all open at once, these Calvary chapels anyway. I think they were only closed down for maybe a month. So it was probably last May or June they all opened together. And in the last chapter of my book, I also mention a business owner by the name of Tony Roman, who is the owner of the Basilicos restaurant in Huntington Beach. When we held our state conference for Eagle Forum on April 17th, we honored him with a trophy, the Business Owner of the Year, because he did not shut down. And he defied all orders, never closed his doors. They were constantly trying to fine him, but somehow he never accepted the fine. Part of it is, we went into his restaurant after our conference was over for dinner just to see what it was like, and it's like you're being served by the mafia.
Yeah.
These big, tough Italian men with big muscles are the waiters. And they have a cannon, an old cannon from the Civil War, facing the front door.
That's good.
And they have a sign on the door, no masks allowed. In fact, if someone tries to wear a mask, they're not allowed in. Anyways, it just shows what some courageous people can do. Standing for their rights. His employees were wearing T-shirts that said, "Make restaurants great again." And I think if he, and like you said, maybe all the restaurants decided in one big fell swoop, we're going to stay open, they could stay open. Because
sure.
it doesn't make any sense. Why are abortion clinics allowed to be open? Why are strip clubs allowed to be open? And yet restaurants are not allowed to be open. Does the little virus not like the restaurant owners, but it will be a happy little virus inside the abortion clinics and the strip clubs?
It will take all of them and all the other business owners. I mean, from grocery stores to, you know, mini marts, everybody has to get in on this and just say enough's enough. I know up here in Shasta County, there was a pretty good movement of businesses that just said, we're not closing. We're done. And they opened up, and I think we were one of the first counties to be almost mask-free because people had just had enough of it. And I think if they, well, they are going to make another run at it. You know they will. It'll be interesting to see what the response the second time is going to be. I don't think it's going to be quite as successful as the first time around.
I think you're right. Well, I'm proud of you up in Shasta County. That's wonderful.
Well, you know, they can only do it if all your law enforcement plays along. And if your county's going to come after you, I mean, you have to have all the pieces in play.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting. It does parallel kind of the voter fraud thing. You can't have voter fraud if everybody isn't in on it. You can't just have, you know, one little segment. So the governor can't send out an edict and force it to be enforced if the enforcing people are like, no, we're not doing it. But I do think...
What was so amazing about that voter fraud was to see how many federal judges went along with this, and then the Supreme Court. Boy, it really made you lose trust and faith in our judicial system, didn't it?
Oh, sure.
There have been a few of those that have happened over time. You know, where you look at it and you go, gosh, the third branch appears to be broken just a wee bit. Well, and, you know, they've always said the press was the fourth branch. And, well, you know, but for the holdouts and the people who take care of their own airtime, folks like us, the other guys are like, we will report coronavirus.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they're bowing down to the pressure. They don't want to face the so-called cancel culture because they've got a lot of money on the line.
But if they all did it at the same time,
they would succeed. Yeah. But
everything
it takes
we ever learned about
folks.
Revolution happened in Red Rover on the playground. Red Rover, if you could always get through the line if you went as a group.
That's right.
I remember that fun little game.
Here you go, Arlene.
Red Rover, Red Rover, send Annie right over.
Exactly.
If Annie goes with all of her people.
Yep, if she goes by herself, she's crushed. Goes with a group,
that's
boom.
Right.
Annihilates
that, that would kind of end the game.
Exactly. Maybe that's your next book. Red Rover, Red Rover, send the Americans over.
the true Americans.
Yeah, exactly. If they don't know what that means, they won't go. So that's actually kind of good. It'll be a weeder outer. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Our guest is Arlene Curla, and you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. So we had a question about the numbers. You were talking about that in your book, and I think we all, maybe not right away, but people did notice that first it was how many people were dying. I think that's the first thing we focused on a year ago was how many people died. Then it moved a little bit to how many people were sick, and then we had a whole big long year of how many people tested positive.
That's right. In 2009, they changed the definition of what a pandemic was, the WHO and the CDC. And at first, it was always a fast-moving illness with high death rates. Then they just changed it, left out the death rate part. It was just an illness with high numbers. So that's how they can continue to pretend they've got a pandemic going on. Just because they have the high numbers of people that are being tested and test positive, some of them don't even know. They have no symptoms. They would never know they even supposedly had COVID. But these tests are so arbitrary and can essentially do whatever they want to do, make it appear like high numbers or not. So the whole thing is just part of this big scam. And, of course, the purpose behind it is to just keep driving people into eventually getting a vaccine. They're letting the doctors who are prescribing hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin and all the things, the good remedies you can do to prevent it, or if you do come down with COVID, immediately take these and you're over it in 3 days. Fauci was discrediting these doctors and saying that's not true at all, and they're discrediting ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. They're trying to make it appear that there is no cure whatsoever. The only cure is the vaccine. So they, and they will continue to push those vaccines. That's what this is all about.
Oh, sure. And there's so much money in this vaccine scam. They're going to continue to push it as long as they can get away with it. And isn't it interesting that now that the political winds have changed in D.C., how a lot of these other remedies medications are now, well, maybe they're not so bad, but boy, they were the worst thing you could do a year ago, and now they're telling people, well, you know, maybe they do help. So it's the whole thing is just political.
It is. It shows how this is truly pseudoscience. There's no yep. true science behind anything because it's constantly changing. If science is really established, normally it stays there, but Fauci's science is constantly changing. And now they're saying that, oh, you know, maybe you need a third booster shot because with the new variants coming in, you're going to need a booster. That's what Pfizer is saying. And it's just sad. The terrible effects that are already happening because of these vaccines.
Oh, sure.
That was one of the reasons why I wanted to come up with a whole volume just on the vaccines. I don't know if you read the beginning of it, but I've essentially dedicated this book to my nephew, who gave me permission to tell his story. He was really hesitant in getting the vaccine because he had a heart condition and was already weakened and, you know, thought this would not be good at all for him. But his brother, who was an MD, kept telling him, oh, yes, because of your heart condition, you need this vaccine. So finally, April 1st, he had the Pfizer shot and was fine until 20 days later. He was seated at his desk and felt this numbness. Actually, it was a tingling first, and he thought, what is this? And went from his toes all the way up his legs to his abdomen. He went on his exercise bike, thought I'd just been sitting too long, went for a walk, came back, and then it was absolute numbness. He was numb from his toes to his abdomen, and now the numbness has gone into his arms, his hands. He has been diagnosed now by his brother and neurologist with full-fledged MS. And his brother admits there is no possible explanation other than this vaccine. My nephew is age 56. MS does not hit someone at that age. And he's now hardly able to walk. You know, it's hard to walk when you can't feel the floor. And pretty soon they're really worried that such a fast-moving MS. And the saddest thing is he knows exactly what it's all about because his father died of MS.
Oh.
He also got it when two weeks after he had had a series of vaccines when he was a chaplain in the military during the Vietnam War. And so the whole family of five children helped take care of this father. And in the end, he could not talk. It had so affected his speech. He could not see. He could not feed himself. They all helped spoon feed him. And Brad is now contemplating such a life for him. It's just very tragic.
Wow.
Well, we've had a similar case in our family. We had a family member that got the vaccine and ended up in a hospital with a stroke at, what, 53. Stroked
wow.
out.
She works for a pharmaceutical company that required that she get the shot, or she couldn't work. And she's the one taking care of my brother who's ill, so she had basically no choice, did it. And it wasn't right after, but oddly enough, there was this blood clot, And then poof, you know, she has a stroke at 53 when she's, you know, I mean, good grief.
Was she able to recover?
She's like the healthiest, you know, I mean, good Lord. You know, when it says organic, I mean, she's checking the certification on everything.
It's true.
And she's hardcore on the vitamins and all that stuff. And she's a chemistry and biology major. I mean, she's not just some dipsy doodle. But she had a, what do they call it? A cerebellum stroke or something about that. I guess it's the really bad kind that kind of makes you either die or be a complete mess. She did not die, is not a complete mess, didn't have all the paralysis and all that, or like my grandma, where basically it erased all her words except swears, which I for real. I remember that as a kid vividly. It's like, have a stroke, swear for the rest of your life. That's all she had left was swearing.
I've not heard that.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but, you know, my grandma said if she ever had a stroke, she was going to die. She was never going to be rehabbed because she was a stroke rehabilitation nurse. And she said, all right, if I have a stroke, I'm going to die. We were like, you don't know that. What makes you say you're going to have a stroke? She has a stroke. They said, oh, okay, we're going to send you to a rehab facility. She was dead within hours.
Oh, my word.
She just willed herself to die. So, you know, gratefully, we didn't have a repeat of that episode. But, there was no real other explanation. They tried to say, oh, your cholesterol is pretty high. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's not exactly it. So she has some cognitive stuff that has lingered on.
It's so sad and at such a young age. That's very
and she didn't want to do it. You know, she didn't want to do the shot. That's the thing. If people want to do this, great. Go right ahead.
Yeah, do it.
But, you know, leave the rest of us alone.
Yeah, it's hard.
Exactly.
When...
Well, what this Rainer Fotomisch, the German attorney that I told you about that has the class action lawsuit, part of the lawsuit was 10 codes of the Nuremberg Code that are being violated by this, because, remember, that is what happened after Nazis Germany came to an end, and all of the horrible medical abuses that were happening during the time that Hitler was experimenting on people. That's why these codes were established, and they are telling you specifically no one should be mandated to have any kind of a medical procedure. So there are so many violations of these codes, and that's all going to come out in this class action lawsuit. And we should be insisting that people do not demand or do not have any such demands of anyone. There are also some California codes that are being violated by all of this. And probably every state has something that says no one should be mandating any medical procedure. It's against your First Amendment rights, your religious rights. So you just have to know these rights and stand up for them.
We're going to come back with our guest, Arlene Curla, because obviously we haven't even gotten into the second book, and we haven't finished the first one, darn it. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People.
That's why they're such big books.
That's why we're such knuckleheads. Right. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
The odds are that we will probably